seriously, every week that I plan out what I'm going to do for the following week, something changes. So I don't even know what I told y'all we would be talking about last week, but it's something completely different. But what I do know is that it's Wednesday. Welcome to Falling Upward. Let's get to it. What is up, guys? We made it to episode 5. Finally, we're halfway through our... Is it halfway? I don't even know. But we are getting through season 1 of Falling Upward, which is so exciting because season 2 is going to be incredible. And I'm just really excited about that. But yeah, here we are. I think today's topic is going to be a fun time. It's a lot. Like, I feel like last week was layered with stuff, and that's kind of how I feel about this week, but it's fine. We're gonna get through this together, as always. Before we get started, I just want to remind you to follow me on social media at falling.upward with 2 I's and falling. I post on there as much as I can. Social media is very exhausting, and I encourage you to take breaks from it when you feel the need to. Okay, there's no obligation to be on social media. But anyway, follow me on there because when I do post, it is something worth looking at. But aside from that, I ask questions on there from time to time just to hear from my listeners and get a sense of what you guys want to hear from me, how you're feeling about the past episodes and all of that good stuff. I love getting your feedback and I just love talking to you guys. So be sure to follow me on there so that we can chat. So basically, I mean, you've already read the title, Why I Read the Bible for Myself. There's a couple of things that I want to touch on, and I'm going to try and move a little slower than I did last week because I feel like I went really fast, but there was just so much that I wanted to give you, and I would prefer to not do two episodes on the same thing if I don't have to. So that was the motivation behind my speed last week. But yeah, I'm going to try and slow down a little bit this week because I want you to really grasp what I'm saying. So I want to know how many of you are following Hillsong or Elevation or like Bethel Music or Relentless Church, or who else can I name? Transformation Church, Mosaic Church, VU Church. There are so many. I'm trying to name as many as I can. Jesus Culture, what else? Upper Room, Dallas, Dwell Church. That's all the ones that I can name off the top of my head. Anyway, how many of you, as if you're going to respond to me right now, but I'm wondering how many of you follow them or know about them or have heard of them before, just so I can get to my next point. That's really all that was. Basically, what I've noticed past maybe like a year or so, especially being in quarantine, okay, you get a lot of like snippets of sermons, you get a lot of snippets of worship songs, pictures of scriptures and all that stuff, and you mainly get it from like, you know, those mainstream contemporary Christian churches. Nothing wrong with that, but the main thing is that I've seen that though, and I've done this before, that's why I wanted to talk about it. I don't want to talk about things that I have not experienced or don't have any knowledge on. So anytime that I am bringing up something, most likely I have gone through it in some way and have learned from it, and that's why I'm talking about it. I'm not just like talking out of my ears. I have experienced these things, and we will get to that when we get to it. Anyway, I have seen that, you know, when you see something that is encouraging on social media, you know, you might repost it or tag your friends in it or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do it all the time. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I post stuff like that as much as I can, because social media can be very depressing more often than not. So I try to do stuff like that. The point that I'm getting at is that it's important to not take those things out of context, and to also be sure that we are not using those things as our daily supply of soul food, I guess. That shouldn't be the only thing that we rely on to feed us. And this is why I read the Bible for myself. Let's have a little story time, just so that you can understand what I'm trying to say. And then we'll get into all of the content that I have for you. So, if you don't know, I don't know if I said this in any of the episodes yet. I am 19, and I have grown up in church. I've been in church my whole life. But I did not develop a love for God or cultivate a relationship with God until I gave my life to Christ when I was 15. Yes, okay. Really bad that I don't remember that. 15. When I was 15, I had this encounter with the Lord, and it was incredible. Everyone has their own journey and their own story, and so mine starts at 15. That's when I started cultivating a relationship with God for myself. It's not that I didn't know of him, but I didn't know him for myself. And so that's when that started for me. So when it happened in August of 2016. It was so crazy, because when that happened, it was such a, like, my life changed completely in a way that I have a hard time finding words to explain. But it was like a 180 type thing. The next day, no exaggeration, the day after I got saved, I woke up and I was like, I just want to read about what just happened to me, basically. Like, I want to know for myself, because I felt like I had just started living at that point. And so it was like, okay, well, I want to know God for myself. So I just started reading the Bible. I don't even remember like where I started or anything like that. God began to debunk a lot of the things that I either made up in my mind or heard somewhere else. And I just took those things and ran with them. So because I had started to pursue him on my own, I started to read about, like reading through the Gospels and reading about the miracles that Jesus did and how he gave us a blueprint to live by. So I just started to learn all of these different things. And I realized that like there were so many stories that I just didn't know fully. I've heard the story about Daniel in the lion's den. I've heard the story about Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt and, you know, things like that. But I didn't know those stories in their entirety, because most of the time when you hear a message about those stories, you might get the high point of that story to push the message. You don't always hear the story in its entirety. And that's not to say that the preacher's doing a bad job. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, realizing that I did not know the full story because I was only depending on what I was hearing on Sundays is the reason why you should be reading for yourself. I hope I'm making sense so far. just bear with me. Another thing that I've noticed is that once I started reading for myself and like just going after God on my own, which it wasn't perfect all the time, it wasn't happy all the time, there were plenty of times where I doubted God and questioned the things that he was doing in my life, but ultimately I was developing a relationship with him and I was getting to know him, getting an understanding of his character and all of those things. And when you start to do that, you're able to see or discern when God is speaking and when he's not speaking. And so then you're able to be careful about what you feed yourself. And I'm talking about, you know, what messages you might see on Instagram or on YouTube or wherever. I'm not saying to not listen to those things, but what I am saying is that you have to be careful about what you're going to take and live by. I have become very familiar with prosperity gospel. I like to call it cotton candy gospel, which is the message of, you know, Jesus loves you, you don't have to repent, things like that. You don't have to pray. And for some of you, this stuff might sound outlandish, but it has been said and it is being taught. And so we have to be careful about what we feed ourselves. I mentioned this in Quarantine Cuisine, which was the second episode, if you haven't heard it yet. And it's the same thing. You just have to be mindful of what you're taking in on a daily basis. And even if not daily, but what you're taking in general, because what you're feeding yourself dictates how you are being edified. And then that, you know, plays into how much you're growing in your relationship with God, because the truth is, if you are developing a misunderstanding of who God is and what he wants for you and all of those things, then your faith can become futile or fruitless. And that's not a place that you want to be in. What I mean by that is, when I say futile faith, is like you're not living out what God has for you because you have a misunderstanding of what he wants for you and things like that. So it's important to be mindful. How do I do that? What does that look like practically? I have, from time to time, like Bible studies with my friends over the phone, especially because we're in quarantine, it's over the phone. But that has helped me so much, especially now, but just in general, because we are growing together, but we're also getting a better understanding of the things that we're hearing in church or on social media or wherever. And we're grasping it for ourselves. I remember seeing, this was like not long after I had started pursuing God, getting to know him for myself. I was watching so many different messages, listening to so many different preachers and stuff like that. And I remember hearing this one message. Someone was saying that we as humanity were born and made of goodness. Everything about us is good. I didn't know that that was wrong, so I took that and ran with it. It didn't necessarily change my perception of God, but it just made me think that I couldn't do anything wrong. When the Bible clearly states that we are a sinful people, because if we were good in the sense of how God defines good, not as we define it, if we were good, then we would not need saving. There'd be no need for the cross. That quiets that down very quickly. These are the things that you open yourself up to when you're not reading for yourself and when you don't know what the Bible truly says. So then you cannot refute messages like that. And so you just take them and run with them like I did. So here's another like message that, and it wasn't just by one person, I was hearing this a lot. This kind of theology that pulls God out of his sovereignty, which is so, so dangerous, right? And what I mean by that is, I've seen that there is this kind of separation between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And I've done it myself. That's how I noticed it initially. It was like, oh wait, I am forgetting that it's three in one. That is a another topic for another day. But the reason that I brought that up is because the separation I've seen causes people to humanize God in such a way that it rids him of his power, we see him in almost too human of a way. What I mean by this is like forgetting that God has the power that the Bible says that he has. And because of that, we don't pray to him in a way that is reverent. We may not acknowledge him in that way. Yes, Jesus is your friend and he is always going to be there for you. But he is not a friend in the way that you define your friends on earth. Surely God lowered himself in the person of Jesus, right? But he remains elevated from everlasting to everlasting. And we're called to make sure that in our lives, he is exalted to that space, into that space, right? We have to see him as sovereign. And once again, these are things that I have grasped from looking into it myself. Not to say that messages cannot provide you with knowledge, cannot help you understand better. But what I'm saying is that it should not be the only thing that you rely on. 1 John chapter 4. As always, the translation that I am reading from is the Holman Christian Standard Bible, if it reads a little different from your translation. Verse 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Verse 2, "This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God." This is what I mean by reading for yourself. Because when you've already been reading it, when someone brings it up or mentions it, you're able to pinpoint whether or not they are taking something out of context or if what they're saying is pure heresy. You are able to do those things because you have read for yourself and you are cultivating a relationship for yourself. All of those things. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of missed the Comfortable Christian because we did not hear from them last week. And it is important for you to understand that you may very well find a lot of yourself in the Comfortable Christian like I do from time to time. And so that is why I point out the things that I point out. The Comfortable Christian streams services every week, maybe even twice a week if there's something happening midway. They stream a couple of services, you know. You can go church hopping in quarantine, okay? Maybe you did it before, but now it's like super easy. Like I can go to 10 churches this Sunday if I wanted to. The Comfortable Christian will go to whatever the service is, and it's perfect for them because they can stay on the couch like they love to do. And so they go to a couple services, hear the message, really enjoy worship, all that great stuff. Turn the TV off, turn the laptop off, whatever, and go right back to what they were doing. And so there is no growth there. There's no change there. And it's not to say that the Comfortable Christian doesn't get convicted, but you, in those moments, you have the choice to act on said conviction. There have very well been times where when I was going through like a really hard time, I would have people tell me like, okay, you gotta get moving. You gotta do this for yourself. Like I can't do it for you. Jesus is with you, but you have to want to be free. And those things would help me realize like, yeah, I have to do this on my own. And then I would still not do anything. So the Comfortable Christian goes to those services and understands what's being said. Maybe they've read some of what was preached in its entirety. So they understand what's being said. They have full knowledge of what the Bible says, because I'm not saying that because you only listen to messages that you are biblically illiterate. That's not what I'm implying. But what I am saying is that you know, for the comfortable Christian, they do not cultivate this thing on their own. And so there's a lot that they can miss because of that. As such, their freedom, they're still tied down to the couch. I want you to understand that the couch is a stronghold, okay? Comfort is a stronghold because it pulls you from growing in God. It pulls you from progressing and getting to where God wants you to be. And so whatever the couch may look like for you, for me, the couch can be anxiety because I know what it looks like. And so it's very hard for me to surrender my anxieties, like the Bible says. So you need to identify what the couch is for you and how it has interfered with your growth with God. I told y'all before, your walk with God is not a microwave ready in 30 second salvation. You really have to put your foot forward. Let's shift just a smidge, okay? I just want to take another angle because, like I said, I want to give you as much as I can. So a while ago, I would say maybe like a year ago, I was praying and talking to God about like true growth, what it means to get from one place to the next without knowing what that next is, okay? That's where comfort comes in, because if I can't see what's happening, I'm just gonna stay on this couch, whatever that is for you. So let's talk about superficial growth, because it's something that is very common in the church today. It has been my reality for some time, so I want to talk about it so that you can identify it and move on. So the word superficial, I love definitions, and I try to give you at least one good one every week. So this week we're talking about superficial. The definition is existing or occurring at the surface. So when you hear something like superficial damage, essentially what it means is that nothing on the inside was affected. Nothing on the inside changed. So what has become kind of like this pattern that I have seen is that there are many, like the comfortable Christian, who go to the services, or they go to these conferences, or they go to these Bible studies, or whatever it is, and there's no internal change. I may come back from a conference or go to a service and come back from it and be fired up, and it's like, you know what? This time, I am really gonna change my life. I'm gonna follow God. I'm gonna stop sinning. I'm gonna, you know, do all these amazing things. And then nothing happens. I don't act on this feeling, right? Wanting to change and identifying that a change needs to be made is only the first step. I can very well say, I know that I'm tied down to sin right now. I know that I'm tied down to the couch. I am more committed to my stronghold than I am to Christ. I can very well identify those things and still not make a move, like I did, and like the comfortable Christian does. So it's important to be able to identify the difference between superficial growth and true spiritual growth, right? 1 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. So there's a difference, right, between just changing your face, right? And what I mean by that is planning to put the work in, planning to take action and saying, you know what, I'm gonna get off my butt and I'm gonna do what I need to do. There's a difference between just saying those things and then really doing what it takes to grow spiritually with God's guidance. That's what 1 Peter is saying when it says grow in grace. I mentioned 2 episodes ago, I think, that there is no grace or provision for the comfortable Christian because the comfortable Christian is not committed. And so you can very well say that you are ready to do these things, but after that, what are you doing? What steps are you taking after that? I remember, like, I was going through a really, like, dark depression, okay? And there was so much happening, like, in the middle of all of that. It's a lot. One day, you will hear the story, but today is not that day. There was a lot happening, okay? And so, at a certain point, I had just given up on God because I was like, all right, you know what? I'm cool. I don't need to be delivered from this because it's obviously not going to happen. I've been dealing with this for so long that I'm not even going to continue to pray for deliverance. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to pray about this thing because nothing's happening. That was my mindset, and that is how I operated for a very long time. And so there was one morning where, like, I don't know if someone sent me a worship song. I don't know. But I listened to this worship song. I don't remember where I found it. I don't remember the name of it right now. If I remember it, I will put it in the description of the episode. But I listened to it, and it was so amazing. Like, the whole worship set was just so great. And I was like, I had that moment where I was just on fire, and I was like, yes, this is it. Like, I'm gonna get up, and I'm gonna stop being depressed, and I'm gonna stop being anxious just automatically. This is it. I text my sister. I'm like, yo, I listened to this song today and it was incredible. And all this stuff that I'm realizing right now about God and I can't wait to change, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay, that's great. Now move. Do what it takes to live out what you're telling me right now. I was like, man, like, couldn't you just be happy for me that I had this realization? Dang, like, but that is what it takes. If you really want to see true change and not live in a place of futile faith, then you have to put action to the words that you are saying. It's okay to say that you want to follow God, but you have to do it. Just saying it doesn't mean that you do it. I was reading Philippians with one of my friends a couple weeks ago. It is a fun time. You should read it. It's only like 4 chapters. So go read it. It's great. It'll take you 2 seconds. It won't take you 2 seconds, but it is good. It took me a couple weeks because I really wanted to, like, not just breeze through it. But what I'm saying is, it's not the book of Psalms, okay? So if you don't know, Philippians was written by Apostle Paul. He is in prison in this moment. And so he is writing to the Philippians. He's writing them a letter because at one point he was with them in person, but now that he can't, he understands that he still has to live out what God has for him. So he's sending them letters to encourage them since he can't be with them in person, which I think is incredible. So in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he says, same translation that I mentioned before, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. So I love this because Paul tells them, he's very straightforward about this. He's like, listen, I'm here for you, but you have to work out your own salvation. They have to put in the work for themselves. That's what he's telling them. In the absence of your, like, cherished leaders and your mentors or whoever, you have to focus your attention and devotion even more on Christ. So that you won't be sidetracked. So you can very well glean from those people and seek guidance from those people, but it's important that they are pushing you to God and that you are still pursuing God. You don't want to be pursuing the person more than God. But even more than this, they cannot want it for you, and they cannot get you to the end result. They can assist you in getting there, but you have to do some work. So there is no salvation by association. I cannot live off of my best friend's relationship with God. I can learn from it. I can grow from seeing how she operates in it, and she can help me grow in mine, right? We can feed off of each other in that respect. But I cannot think about it this way, right? Like, let's say you're going somewhere, like you're going on a trip somewhere, and you get on the plane and you're with your friend, and your friend is the only one with a boarding pass. They are not letting you on that plane, okay? Because you do not have one for yourself. And so the same goes for your salvation. I cannot get saved off of my friend's commitment to God. I have to do these things for myself. That does not mean that you will be alone in it. It just means that there is work for you to do. Okay, so there's one more thing that I wanna pinpoint. Let's talk about false doctrine and good doctrine. Doctrine worth standing on and living by. What I have noticed, if we're going back to Christian culture on social media, you have this doctrine that pushes a transactional mindset or foundation for your faith. Like when we're talking about prosperity gospel. And so basically what the message behind this is kind of how God can work for your life, what you can get from him, and who God is in that sense. Treating God as, you know, a genie or things like that. Surely God is a provider. I am not going against that. But if we are going to follow him and claim him, then we have to claim him in his fullness, not in just the bits and pieces that coddle our reality or our mindset, okay? True doctrine will tell you who God says that you are, what ways he will be there for you, but then also how you can serve him. Pushing and understanding that it goes both ways and that there are things that you have to do. You cannot sit back like the comfortable Christian if you want to live out a true salvation. Once I got up and, you know, stopped saying that I was going to do these things and actually did them, that's when the change started to happen. And I mean quickly, because that's what it took. It took me actually doing those things. You can say that you're saved. You can say that you want to be saved. You can, you know, but what are you actually doing? How are you putting that into practice? That determines your stance in your relationship with God. That determines whether or not you are doing those things. It's as simple as that. I don't want to repeat myself, but it takes action. And part of that action is reading for yourself and getting to know God for yourself and not trying to live off of just what you see on social media, not just how you see your friends doing it, not just what happens on Sundays, but what's happening in your everyday life. How are you feeding yourself in the in-between? The comfortable Christian will go to Bible study or go to youth group or go to church on Sunday and just play face. Pretend that it's all good. Pretend that they're in a good standing with God. Say that they're going to follow him. Pray the sinner's prayer every week. They recommit their lives every Sunday and end up having to do it again the following Sunday because they've fallen. What I want you to understand is that our journeys with God is a daily commitment. I'm not denying that. But when you're in a place where you forget about your salvation on Monday, something needs to change. There needs to be a shift. Okay, so I'm not saying that, you know, you're not meant to be surrendering daily. I think that if I said that, I would be contradicting this entire podcast. But what I'm saying is there is work to be done on your end. You have to live out the things that you are saying you're going to live out. Because honestly, if you're just living this life on the weekends, if you're just living this life once a week, or just living it on social media, that doesn't help anyone. You may deceive some people around you into thinking that, you know, everything's cool, but that doesn't change your actual situation. I wore a mask for the longest time, but it didn't change the fact that I was suffering. It only made the people around me think that I wasn't. So you're not helping or hurting anyone other than yourself. You're hurting yourself if you're not putting foot to pavement. So I hope that you got something good this week, and that it's something that will carry you to next Wednesday. But seriously, I'm hoping that you are taking what I'm saying and going to read about these things for yourself, pursuing God on your own, because even just listening to me on Wednesdays, it takes a little more than this. This is a good first step, I'm not gonna lie, but there's more to be done. All right, I'm not gonna keep going. I think I'm gonna stop there. Hopefully I went slow enough this time. There's a lot happening right now in the country. We went from being in a pandemic and that being overwhelming enough, but I have never seen anything like this. I've read about things like this. I've learned about things like this, but to be face to face with it is overwhelming at a level that I can't even fully describe to you right now. I do want to say that I am thankful for the eye opener that this has been to everyone, not just me, but to everyone. I think that it is important to take the breaks necessary. Social media at one point was kind of like an outlet for me, because the quarantine is not always fun. But now I don't have that outlet either, you know, because it's everywhere. And I know that there are people that feel the same. So I want to just say this, because I do not have a lot of words on this topic, and I don't want to just talk just to talk. But what I will say is that you do not have to say something. A lot of people have contacted me like within the past couple of days, and they keep saying that they can't find the right words, and because there's this need to respond right away, and that doesn't have to be the case. And know that your words, so to speak, do not have to be words. You can express how you're feeling or talk about the situation in any way that is conventional to you that will properly do that for you. I hope that makes sense. Whether you are an artist and so you want to express your grief through a song or a painting or whatever it is, you can do that and bring awareness to what is happening. It does not just have to be, you know, this long Instagram caption or this long post on Facebook, because that is what we're seeing, but that's not the only way to respond, if you're going to respond at all. There's this pressure to have an immediate response. And there's no way that someone could process everything that is happening, because there are new things happening every day. And so there's no way that you can properly process everything within 24 hours and have a response to it just like that. And so I would encourage you to take the proper amount of time, whatever that looks like for you, whether it takes leaving social media for some time or not looking at the news all the time or whatever it is for you, so that you can process what is happening. And then if you are going to respond, then you'll be able to respond in a fruitful manner. Thank you for listening once again. I love all of you. You guys are incredible. Be sure to follow me on Instagram if you're not already, at falling.upward with two eyes and falling. everything, whether it was a scripture or a song or something that I mentioned, I will try to put it in the description for you. Be sure to share today's episode with someone. Remember, if you're listening on Spotify, follow the podcast on Spotify. If you have a friend that does not have Spotify, but they can use Google Play, then tell them about it. Also, you can just go to anchor.fm and search Falling Upward on there and listen to the podcast online. So you have a lot of options. Thank you guys for listening. I am so very grateful for all of you. I hope you are all staying safe. And I'll see you next week.